Coming up today on this Friday edition of the Steve Alstrom Show, Erica Kirk speaks at Turning Point USA's winter conference, and immediately the race for the Republican nomination in 2028 comes to an end. Alex Blass speaks to North Dakota, says, I would like to be your next congressman. How will he attempt to unseat the current congresswoman, Julie Fedorchuk? And also today on the program, the F5 Foundation speaks and says, we're not done growing or serving this community. Good afternoon, my friend. Good to be with you here on the Steve Alstrom Show on this Friday afternoon. And finally, we got some sun after a long day of clouds and cold and wind. It's warmed up a little bit, but it's been a tough day. Again today, that wind, man, we usually when it gets cold, we drop the wind, but it hasn't worked out that way this week. Hopefully you've had a great day. Great to be with you here on the show today. Well, it might be Friday. It might be sort of getting to be the Christmas season, but we're hard at work here. We've got a lot of interesting things to tell you about today on the show. As I mentioned, Alex Blass has thrown his hat back in the ring to run for North Dakota's congressional seat. We'll speak to him today at 4:40 p.m. I didn't know a thing about him. Most of North Dakota didn't either last year about this time. And he, 2 years ago this time, and he absolutely made a huge impression on Republicans across the state. I would say he's still an underdog, but he comes into it with a lot more momentum this time around. This will be an interesting race, I believe. So we'll talk to Alex today at 4:40 p.m. Got some good news about some things happening in the Moorhead American Legion. Can't wait to tell you about that. I've come up with an idea based on our friend Herb from Detroit Lakes, who called us yesterday and said, I'm not so sure that all these prices everybody talks about going up are really going up. I'm finding all kinds of things that seem like they're going down to me. And that gave me an idea for the president. So I'll pitch this idea to you. You can tell me if I'm on something or if I'm on to something. So we'll do that today here. Found out today that a number of the players on this year's Bison football team are not going to jump into the transfer portal and try to find a new place to play and maybe make a little money while doing it. They're coming back, a lot of them, for another year. And before we finish up, a group of Minnesota residents, oh, my home state, what are we doing? What are we doing? A group of Minnesota residents is suing their sheriff for helping ICE do its job. Yes, it's come to that. So we'll tell you about that and many other things coming up here today on the show. If you want to be part of the program, we'd love to hear from you today. 701-271-1100. 701-271-1100. Question I would throw out for you today, do you think Tim Walz will win again in Minnesota? What do you think on this? Not asking to have any insight, just asking you to tell me what your gut tells you. Do you think Tim Walz can win again? Do you think he will win again? I guess two separate questions. Can, yes. Will, another thing altogether. Do you think Tim Walz will win again in Minnesota? It's going to be either him or a Republican. So if he doesn't win, it'll be a Republican. Wouldn't that be interesting? So I'm curious what you think about that. So that question thrown out for you here today. I'm coming to you live from the Drive with Vision studio. That's Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton. Go to drivewithvision.com and find out about all their great vehicles, all their great jobs, all the cool things they do down there in Wahpeton. You're seeing a lot of those license plates here with new cars in Fargo, Moorhead, West Fargo. Those Vision license plates, people are finding out there's a good thing going on down in Wahpeton. And I'm coming to you from the Drive with Vision studio here today. Vision Ford Lincoln Wahpeton, and Drive with Vision.com. 701-271-1100 is our phone number. That's the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. They've recently expanded and can get you in fast. They now offer counseling, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and a nurse practitioner. Make an appointment. Get in this week at valleychristian.co. The first football game tonight in the college football playoff. Oklahoma and Alabama. My friend John has got Alabama winning this one. I think he said 28-24 yesterday. I think that's too many points for these defenses. Two very good defenses, two offenses that have not exactly been able to figure it out over the last month. I think it's going to be low scoring. I'll give you my pick on this one and the other three first-round playoff games coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Okay, let's get to it, my friends. We got a lot to do here on the show today. It is Friday, December 19th. Here as we open up the 4 o'clock wrap, semi-automatic storylines, rapid-fire rundown of this Friday afternoon. Average high 23, average low 6. Boy, wouldn't it be nice to have 23? Jeez. Oh, man. We did get above zero today. I think I saw it was 8. But with a 80-mile-an-hour wind, it's 50 below wind chill. I'm exaggerating all that, but that's what it feels like. Record high 46 in 1923. Record low minus 32 in 1883. Sunrise this morning was at 8:08. Sun will set at 4:40 p.m. That's right. We are now 2 minutes later with our sunset time than we were at the beginning of the week. Isn't it great? We'll lose 12 seconds of daylight today, 7 seconds tomorrow, and 1 second on Sunday. And then we start to go the other direction. We'll gain 3 seconds of daylight on Monday. And then we're off to the races, and spring will be here pretty soon. CNBC with the business report for today. It was a good day on Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 183 points. S&P 500 up 59. NASDAQ up 301 today. WTI crude oil up 50 cents at $56.65. Gold today up $4.20 an ounce at $4,368. Silver continues its tear up about 3.5% today. Up $2.17 at $67.39 an ounce. If you told your granddad these numbers, if it was 20 years ago and you said, Grandpa, I'm just telling you, on December 19th, 2025, silver's going to be worth $2.17. He'd have probably sold his house, his car, his truck, his horses, whatever Grandpa had, fishing pole, and he would buy silver. Probably gold, too. Although silver, it feels like you might be going somewhere faster. With gold, here's $4,368. Oh, okay, sir. Well, here's 1 ounce of gold for you. Oh, that's all I get for $4,000. Silver, here's an ounce for $67. Yeah, okay, well, it's still fairly small, but I only had to pay $67 instead of $4,300. So maybe it would make you feel a little better to buy silver these days. I don't know. AAA says the average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas dropping like a rock, down another 2 cents today at $2.88. A gallon. North Dakota average price $2.61. South Dakota $2.64. Minnesota $2.70. I saw the Fleet Farm on I-29 today. They don't pay for this spot. They probably should. But it's just the place I know that there's the lowest gas in Fargo that I've seen driving around. They are today at $2.08? It's under $2.10. I want to say it was $2.08. So we're getting down there, 208, 207, 206, something like that. There's going to be a sign that says $1.99 before too long. Somebody should just do it as just something fun. You'd probably get a lot of business. People just come in there taking selfies by the gas station sign. Hey, look, $1.99. AAA says that the average price for diesel today, $3.62 per gallon. In the news today, Alex Balazs, the veteran and former U.S. State Department employee, says he is running again for North Dakota's congressional seat. He was endorsed, you might remember, by the Republican Party during the 2024 state convention. Ended up finishing fourth, though, in the primary. Julie Fedorchuk won the primary and then ended up going on to win the election in November. Won the primary, won the election in November. And so Julie is running again, and Alex Balazs would like to unseat her. We'll talk to Alex coming up here in about a half hour. The North Dakota News Cooperative has released its final poll of 2025, asking people to talk a little bit about how they feel about the amount of money they have and their expenses and so forth. It's basically the inflation question. They asked it four different ways. They said, how would you describe your household's financial situation over the course of 2025? 69% said the same, 11% said it got better, and 17% said it got worse. Have gas and groceries become more affordable, less affordable, or about the same? 53% say less affordable, 33% say the same, 14% say more affordable. Have economic conditions caused you to change your spending habits in any way? 62% said no, not really. 38% yes, they have. And finally, do you expect your holiday spending this year to increase, decrease, or stay about the same? 56% of the people said about the same. 13% increase. 31% said we're spending less this year than normal. So it's about a third of North Dakotans. That was interesting. The F5 Project has opened a new office in Detroit Lakes at the Becker County Probation Office, to be specific there. The nonprofit gives people coming out of jail resources like transitional housing and help getting a job. The money to run the DL office comes from an opioid settlement funding from Becker County, the Minnesota Department of Corrections. Adam Martin, the founder, said half of his organization's funding was cut in half last year, and he had to lay off half his staff. So they are still finding ways to make things do. And he said, we've got F5 back to its original funding and staffing levels. They're also in Fargo, Valley City, Grand Forks, Jamestown, Bismarck, Dickinson, Minot, Devil's Lake, and Williston. WDAY Radio reports that a Milwaukee County judge, I think this is actually from Fox News Channel. You remember that judge, Hannah Dugan, in Milwaukee, who was found guilty of helping the illegal get away from ICE agents at the courthouse back in April? Well, she has been found guilty by a jury of obstructing federal justice. It happened when immigration agents were trying to serve a warrant at a courthouse earlier this year. Dugan helped the individual and his attorney exit her courtroom through a back door on April 18th after learning that ICE agents were in the building to arrest him. Well, it was 6 hours of deliberations there today, and they found her guilty. So isn't that something? A little bit of justice there. I'm looking in this story to find if I can see how much, what the penalty is for this. And I don't see, she faces up to 5 years in jail. 5 years in jail. Well, I hope she gets at least 5 days so we get the booking photo. What a piece of work this woman is. My goodness. Well, the frantic search for the suspect in last weekend's mass shooting at Brown University is over. It has ended at a New Hampshire storage facility where authorities discovered a man dead inside and then revealed he was also suspected of killing an MIT professor. Claudio Valente, 48 years of age, a former Brown student and Portuguese national, was found dead last night from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Those two crimes were ones that were in the headlines, especially out east, a lot there. They say that he was not in the country illegally. He was a grad student, but had moved here on a temporary student visa, but had then been able to get a green card residency. So that allowed him to stay in the United States. It turns out, in retrospect, we should have kicked him out. Fox Business reports that TikTok has reached a settlement with the U.S. Department of Justice, well, the federal government, I guess I should say, and they will be forming TikTok into a new joint venture with American-led investors that will allow them to keep TikTok among the living. And there are 170 million users in the United States, and this whole thing should be finalized sometime in late January. The U.S. Department of Justice has begun to release thousands of files on Jeffrey Epstein. This started all today. The records released include call logs, grand jury testimony, and interview transcripts. Many of the documents have been redacted. Some have already been in the public domain, reports CNN. Anything containing a victim's personally identifiable information is not authorized for release. Well, that makes sense. The president signed a bill November 19th giving the Justice Department 30 days to release just about everything there. And now the news organizations are all digging in to see what is what's all in there. Not much has been exposed so far, but it just happened today. Surprise today from New York, Elise Stefanik, the congresswoman, has dropped her bid to become the next governor of New York and will not seek re-election to Congress. The whole thing comes a bit of a surprise. She posted on social media today that while spending precious time with my family this Christmas season, I have made the decision to suspend my campaign for governor and will not seek re-election to Congress. Wow. Nobody exactly knows why she or what she's going to be doing here instead of that. She was not doing great in state polling there, despite about half of New Yorkers saying they wanted a new governor. Kathy Hochul had a lead there over her. But I don't know if that's, it seems like a little too early to give up on that one. CNBC reports that housing inventory across the country fell 5.9% in November from the month before. The average price of a home sold in November, though, went up from a year before, but 1.2% year over year. The average price of a home sold in November, $409,000. So if you're wondering, well, what's the average home price in this country? $409,200, to be exact, 1.2% higher than it was a year ago. But 1.2%, now that we're not talking about a whole lot anymore, not that kind of 3 to 5% that we've been getting used to here over the years. Homes, by the way, are staying on the market longer, 36 days compared to 32 days last November. And one more here for you. A local boy playing in the big leagues has been traded. Phillies, the Philadelphia Phillies, have traded West Fargo native Matt Strom to the Kansas City Royals. He is 34 years of age. He was drafted by Kansas City in 2012 out of junior college in Kansas. So he's been around for a while. I spent the last 3 years in Philadelphia. So getting back into the Central Division where he'll meet the Twins a little bit more often. And those, friends, are some of the stories that are making headlines here on this Friday afternoon. When we return, Herb from Detroit Lakes gave me an idea yesterday. And now I have an idea for President Trump, all thanks to Herb. I'm going to tell you about it next. 427, Steve Alsham Show. And Addison was telling me during the commercial break that he might have a new leading candidate for cheapest gas in town.
I just might, at least that we know of. So the Casey's just west of Love's here on 32nd. I believe I saw 206 for regular when I drove by.
206, okay.
Yeah, 206.
So that's the one over by a J.L. Beers.
Yeah.
On the other side of 42nd from here, okay.
Yeah, right between 42nd and 45th, yeah.
206, okay. Well, there you go. We're going to see it. It's $1.99. We're going to see it here pretty soon. And that's going to be a lot of fun. That's going to be a lot of fun. All right, 427 here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. So Herb called the show yesterday. We were talking about inflation yesterday because the CPI number came out a little cooler than expected. And we were talking about, you know, things are still going up and most stuff is still more expensive, but there are a few products. If you find them, look hard enough, you can find some things that are getting less expensive. Well, Herb says, you know, I don't know. I'm going to the grocery store, I'm going to Walmart, wherever he was talking about he was going, and I'm finding stuff that seems like it's cheaper than I've paid in a long time for this stuff. And I started thinking, you know, that's actually a good idea. Here's what the president should do. They come up with these CPI numbers and PPI numbers and all this and that. The president should start his own inflation index. And, I mean, isn't this right up Trump's alley? I mean, if Trump can put his name on it and brag about he did it, like, that's the way to get him behind it, right? I think the president should find, like, the 50 most common goods in American society today and just start keeping track. And as I thought about it a little bit, as I was kind of putting this idea together for the show today, I said, you know, I think if you're going to do it right, you should do 10, like, household goods and 10 food products. So I did a little searching. What are the most commonly bought consumer products by American consumers? And here's what I got. I'll give you the top 20, okay? Toilet paper, bottled water, diapers, laundry detergent, paper towels, baby wipes, cleaning sprays, trash bags, shampoo and conditioner, body wash and soap, deodorant, toothpaste, vitamins and supplements, Pain relievers like ibuprofen and so forth. Pet food, cat litter, air fryers. A little random, but okay. Coffee makers, bedding, and towels. So those are your top 20. So I say expand that to the top 40, where you get like candles and sunscreen in there. And then I said, what are the most 10 bought food products in America? Bananas, milk, eggs, bread, fresh chicken, ground beef, soda or bottled beverages, cereal, yogurt, and cheese. So I think the president should start his own thing. I don't know what we call it. The Trump inflation meter or whatever. And just start measuring stuff because I'm kind of with Herb. I've seen stuff. I actually bought some windshield washer fluid today. And I paid $3.29 a gallon for it, which is disgusting because I remember buying it in high school for like, you know, 49 cents or whatever. But I know for a fact that after COVID, because I remember going to a place and I said, is this like, you know, am I buying like a Powerade in this blue jug of liquid? I just need something for my windshield. Guy goes, no, that's what it is. The price has been going through the roof on this. And I'm sure it was like $5 for just the basic stuff. This isn't like the high powered whatever. It is the basics. That's all I buy. So I know that there's some stuff that's coming down. I don't know, bananas, milk, eggs, toilet paper, Kleenex, whatever. But I think the president should start his own thing and just post the results. Like, go to have one of your people go to Walmart and just buy all this stuff and go to the grocery store and just keep buying it. Like, every week, he's got at least, he's got three more years left in office. Just start doing your own inflation gauge. And, as they say now, save the receipts. And then you can say, look, here's what, and post it up, but just put it up every week somewhere on a True Social post and tell us what that the Trump index came to. And we might be surprised that we're seeing numbers, because some things are like insurances and taxes and whatever going up. But I think a lot of things really are starting to slow down and maybe even go the other direction. So I think the president should do this on his own, because I don't know how the bigger government gets involved in anything, the more convoluted it gets and the less accurate that it gets. Having one of your interns go down to Walmart or the Piggly Wiggly to grab some stuff off the shelf and posting it, that's easy enough for us all to figure that out. And I guarantee you, if those 50 products were even or less expensive a year from now, or if the number was, you know, 1.3% more expensive, I guarantee you the American public would get that. Because when you talk about the consumer price index, people are like, I don't know. But if they said, here's Trump's basket of goodies from Walmart, they would say, oh, I get that. That makes sense. And you know what? Those prices are lower. So I think you should do it. And just kind of create your own news. Trump likes to do that anyway. That's my idea. Thank you, Herb. You gave me an idea. I think the president should start this right away. In the new year. 4:33, Steve Alstrom Show. Time for a check of news. At Dakota Implant and Sedation Center in Fargo, Dr. Matt Eaton helps everybody, young, seasoned, and everywhere in between. He's dedicated his professional life to transforming smiles and restoring confidence, one patient at a time. When you meet him, you'll feel it. It's not just a job, it's his calling. Whether you need a single tooth or a full mouth restoration, he's here with skill, compassion, and experience. Whether you've been hiding your smile for years or you're ready for a fresh start, trust his skill, compassion, and experience. Visit DakotaDentalImplant.com today. We are pleased to be joined on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line by Alex Balazs, who has announced that he is going to run again for North Dakota's lone congressional seat here in 2026, and we're thankful for his time today. Alex, good to visit with you again, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing great, Steve. How have you been?
I've been excellent, thank you. A little chilly, but we all have, I guess, here over the last few days.
Yeah.
It's been pretty nasty. So you want to do this whole thing all over again, huh?
Yeah, we met some great people last time, and we had a real good experience on the campaign trail. I think I need to work a little harder, do a little better this time, but I think it's good for me and good for North Dakota.
So tell me what that means, Alex. When you say I got to work a little harder, where do you look back at last time and say I maybe could have done a little bit more or gone a little further or those kinds of things?
Well, I'm starting earlier this time, that's for sure. One of the reasons we wanted to announce this year and get it out there so people can kind of think about it a little bit and be ready for January when we start campaigning in earnest. And I think we just needed to be a little better organized. You know, I really am not a politician's politician, so I probably was a little bit behind the power curve there, but I'll get out more and talk to more people and get the word out. I think we'll get the votes.
What do you think will make the difference this time when it all comes down to it? Why might this particular campaign get you over the top, whereas last time that did not happen?
Well, you know, I didn't put a whole lot into name recognition. I just thought if I got a good message out there and people knew me. But the reality is not a lot of people in North Dakota really knew me outside of my local community. I spent a lot of time getting to know people and talk to people. I think that's different this time around. I think that my message is that my experience lends itself better to the congressional representation for North Dakota. But it took a while for me to get to know people and work, and I'm happy to do that. It was good. It was a good experience, and I gave a lot of time to that. So I think that'll make a difference this time.
How would you assess the job that Congresswoman Fedorchuk has done in that position here? She's been in that spot now for about a year, and boy, the reelection campaign comes up quick when you're in the House, just a two-year term there. But assess the job that she's done so far for North Dakota.
Well, you know, nothing really changed for me in this, Steve, going into this when I was looking at running again. I feel like, and I've said it before respectfully, Julie's a real nice person, but I think that you need more experience in that seat. I think you need leadership in that seat. I believe that that the job she's done so far is kind of doing what she needs to do to get reelected. I'm just going to say it and put it out there. I think that she's following what she has to do in Congress, but I think we need more from that, specifically with regard to tying North Dakota into the big policy issues and then keeping our state's sovereignty set aside. So I just think she could have done better. I think I can do a lot better.
Can I get that next level of detail from you on the state sovereignty thing and then some of those big national issues? What specifically might you, if you have the opportunity, might you do a little differently?
Well, I think right from the start, we're going to have to take a look at all those things that are affecting us nationally that also affect us in North Dakota, and that's our national security. Those are all the threats around the world today. Those are the things that we actually do things in Congress for. We pass budgets and we work with DOD and we do all those things that I think we need to do a lot more work on as a representative from North Dakota so that North Dakota can enjoy the sovereign rights that states have where big government doesn't step in. And I think we need to pull back even more what big government's doing. Having been there, I know how invasive it can get, and we need to step back farther from that, pull off more regs, get the states working on their own, but we also need to create the environment that makes it safe for them. And there's some big threats coming down the pike.
Julie Fedorchuk has that incumbent title beside her name, and that obviously matters in politics. She's got the endorsement from President Trump, who did that back in August, I think it was. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Those are a couple things that generally are hard to overcome. Do you think that they obviously you don't think those are barriers too high to climb, though, to be able to win with those things maybe going against you?
Yeah, I mean, definitely working against an incumbent's harder. They have a lot more funds available to them to work, just given their position. And an endorsement from Trump is super important. I'm not going to belittle that. I think an early endorsement from Trump indicates that they didn't want any challengers in this. But the reality is that North Dakota makes that decision. And I'm going to reach out to the voters and ask them to do that. I'm going to ask to represent them. And I think that the more we talk, the better we'll find that we're aligned and I can represent them better.
I think last time when you ran, Alex, at the beginning of the campaign, I don't know that I certainly had not heard of you, but the more I got to know you, I was impressed with your demeanor, with obviously your resume, all the things you've done, a veteran, served in the federal government, and someone who, very much a man of faith, and someone who was willing to call out some of the culture things of the day. I think those things obviously played very well for you. You were endorsed by the party coming out of the convention. And so I feel like this year, this time around, maybe you started at the goal line last year. I feel like you might be starting on the 20 or 30 yard line this year and have a little less ground to get people to know you. How much do you think that matters this time around?
Oh, I think it matters a great deal, Steve. I think getting out early is super important. I think the voters deserve that. I think I need to spend time doing that. That's why we jumped in to get the announcement out early on. I think the other piece is that it takes time for people to get to know you, to talk. You can't have 10-second sound bites. You need longer conversations. We've done a lot of that. And that's something that I think we need to continue to do. We have to do face-to-face meetings. We have to do it even once we're in office. I think that's the only way to really get the representation at the level we need it.
One of the things that drives me nuts about politics these days, Alex, is that sadly you got to have a big pile of money to be able to get the job done. And it shouldn't be that way, but it just kind of is that way. It gets you access to places and messages, mediums that are important. Congresswoman is going to have a significant financial advantage over pretty much everybody else in North Dakota who might want to get into the primary run just because of where she's been and what she has done. How much of an obstacle do you think that is to overcome? And do you feel like you can raise the kind of money to go toe-to-toe with her in that fight?
Yeah, I think I can, Steve. I think that there's an undercurrent in North Dakota that's going to donate. I've already talked to some folks and a bunch of people who want to support me in the campaign. I think getting out early is the big difference. We'll have to get donations in, and, of course, I'll be asking for those. More importantly, though, I think it's time really for us to take a step back in politics or in representation. And, yes, it's going to take some money for me to get there, but it shouldn't take millions. Actually, those millions or those hundreds of thousands should be spent locally on important causes for people, rather than dumping them into campaigns. But people should be out there campaigning and listening. And there's a grassroots way to do this. We'll pull it together. We're already on ahead on this. We'll do some digital stuff and just get the announcements out. We've already got a whole bunch of good calls on that. So, yeah, it's going to be a challenge. But I'll ask everybody out there to pitch in, and I think we'll make it.
How do you let me ask it differently. As you've taking a look at how Julie Fedorchuk has voted in Washington, D.C. with the things that she has gotten behind or opposed, are there any votes in particular where you saw the issue differently and would have voted in a different way?
Yeah, I've been looking at her voting record. I mean, first of all, you got to know that I'm not going to miss 11 votes. And I think that's unacceptable for a congressional representative to miss that many votes in one term. It is the average, but it's just wrong. There's a lot of voting that she did, which conforms to what we needed to do as conservatives to get tax cuts through and the rest. But more importantly is the lack of initiative on putting things through, like putting things right away through that we needed that took 6-7 months to do. And I feel like there was some waiting for the trend to pick up or the current to pick up so that it wouldn't look so that she could follow more. And I think you need to put some skin in the game and just be a little more risky. But to pull out individual votes, there's not that much they voted on that would have changed that much in the time, but there's more that should have been done. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying there. I think our audience will pick up on that too. As far as, you know, anyone who would want to get into that particular position, Alex, is going to have to decide, do they support what President Trump is doing? And certain congressmen and women fall in line pretty much every time. Others, you know, the Thomas Massey's out there, the Rand Paul's, people like that. He's a senator, I guess. But there are some people that do like to be an independent thinker from the president in some of these issues that come up. Do you see yourself as someone who's going to be an overwhelming supporter of what the president says and like, hey, he's the president, we got to support him? Or do you fashion yourself as someone that is going to look at things with an independent eye and occasionally vote against where the president wants to go?
Yeah, I guess I do feel that way, Steve. And here's really in a nutshell. I think that President Trump needs better advising. So I think that when you're a congressman or a senator and you need to say to somebody, hey, I think that this executive order is good, but it's not strong enough or it's not exactly tailored right, because I have the experience to say that, having been overseas and having dealt with different cultures and different structures, you got to be able to say that. And you can't worry about whether he's going to be upset with you. You're going to have to say it. And say, hey, listen, you could have done better on this. You could have done better on something else. But if all you're worried about is staying in office, you're not going to say that. Now, I'm not talking about undermining the conservative effort, like just voting against to vote against. But there are times when you're going to have to say, no, you're going to have to do better on this. If you don't like it, I'll take the heat on it, because my constituents are in North Dakota, and they'll either vote for or against that, and they'll support me. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does, Alex. Is there an issue where you take a look at what the president has done and you might have said, you know what, this isn't for me? Is there anything that comes to mind about how the president has moved in D.C. that you might have voted differently about or had a different opinion on?
Well, I definitely would have rewritten the Muslim Brotherhood executive order differently to include all those fundraisers in the United States, because those are going to crush us. And that doesn't even touch those. And you need somebody to walk in and say, hey, you need more on this. But that's difficult, right? Because you're talking to a man who's certainly got a way to do it. And I respect that a lot. And Trump's got a lot of good policies out there, and he's done great for us on so many things. So I can list a lot of those. I mean, we are going to feel this in the next year. At the same time, it doesn't mean everything's perfect. And if you look at the big, beautiful bill, there's some aid going out the door there that I understand it for influence purposes, but it also could have been modified because different countries got different aid at different levels that you have to dig into it deeply. But could have been changed with a little bit of influence from somebody that has worked overseas and knows that.
We're visiting with Alex Blas, candidate for U.S. House of Representatives. Alex, final question for you. I always like to ask people when they're getting into these races for either Senate or House positions in D.C., if the vote or the spending package, I guess, is what really it comes down to, doesn't make sense, do you feel like there is a scenario out there under which you would vote or allow the government to shut down for a while instead of just to go along and get along? Because that is a decision I think everybody needs, and it happened not too long ago where Democrats and Republicans couldn't get together on what the spending package should look like, and because of it, the government was shut down. Now, that was largely a Democrat move this time around, but when President Biden was in office, I was sitting in this chair saying, someone's got to say no and be willing to let this government shut down for a while if need be, because we can't fund these things. And then there are other people that go to Congress and say, you know what, we should never shut the government down. There's other ways to do it, but that hurts people who don't get their paychecks right away and other things like that. Where do you stand on this whole principle of shutting the federal government down if the legislation doesn't look right to you?
Well, if Congress does not do our job, if I don't do my job there, getting the budget lines through, which we didn't do our job right this time, and it came to the point where we had to have a continuing resolution to shut it down, there were many very valid reasons to not push forward with it. And at those points, if you end up at a point where you simply cannot support it and you haven't done your work, you're going to have to vote to stop it, to shut it down. It doesn't have to be a 35-day shutdown. It could be. But I'll go back one step on that and say the real work has to be done ahead of time. So if you really want to look at what happened recently, didn't do their work ahead of time to get those budget lines through. It's not that big a deal. There's 12 budget lines. We know what they are. They have minimum funding levels, and they didn't get them through, even though we had majorities. So that's a pretty important issue. The other piece is you're going to have to support what you believe. If it's that bad of a budget, if it's that bad of a bill going forward that might, for example, this one, they wanted all this additional money put into subsidies for health care, which I believe would have been wasteful. I think that was okay to stop that and not let that go through and not agree to that from the Democrat side. And that's where we had the impasse, right? They wanted to waste a bunch more money. That's a tough one, but it had to happen. You know, I was one of those people that had a delayed paycheck from work I'd done earlier in the year for almost, I don't know, 50, 60, no, 80 days when they finally cut it. So I felt it, yeah. But you got to live with it. I don't complain a bit about it. They had to go through the process, you know.
Yeah. Well, Alex, I appreciate you being with me and giving a good chunk of time here on this Friday afternoon to talk through kind of where you're at on these issues and how you're starting this time versus last time. If people find out more about your campaign, where do they go online to learn more about you?
If you would please go to alexfornorthdakota.com, you can look it up there. You'll see the place where you can donate or read about me, and you can ask questions, and you can send me some donations if you want, or you can just call and talk. And I would say in closing, Steve, I said before, I'd have faith in this. We're going to get through this. It's going to be a better year next year. I'm glad I announced before the holiday, but I would say to everybody out there, the reason for this season is Jesus and his birth on Christmas, and I'll be celebrating that. So we'll just take some time to really revel in that we have that, and it's such a great thing. And I look forward to talking to people in the new year.
Sounds great. Alex, thank you for taking the time. We appreciate it today. Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Merry Christmas, Steve. Thank you.
Alex Blas, North Dakota's, one of the candidates from North Dakota's Republican Party that would wish to be the next congressman, congresswoman, I guess in his case, congressman in Washington, D.C. 456, Steve Alstrom Show, back after this. Okay, I've got a text message here. Says, Steve, gas, $1.39. I'm like, what? Well, that's E85 flex fuel. Quickstar over by Big Top Bingo in Fargo. So the flex fuel, a 15% gas, 85% ethanol there. Got to have a flex fuel vehicle to burn it, though. Hour number two of the show coming up next. Hour number two of the Steve Alstrom Show on this Friday afternoon, December 19th, 2025. Good afternoon, my friend. Good to be with you here on the show today. One more hour to go here on the program, and then next week I will be off on a little family vacation. We have been invited by some family friends to go out to Big Sky and go skiing and snowboarding for the week. So heading out there, actually going to make a small bit of the trip tonight, and then most of the rest of it tomorrow. I have not skied since my college days, so it's been a long time. I tried snowboarding one time. Addison, you ever tried snowboarding?
No, I've never been brave enough.
Oh, boy. Well, I'm hoping that the snow out in Montana is a little more friendlier to fall down in than the snow at Buck Hill in Burnsville, where I learned to or tried to learn to snowboard, and it was just crusty, icy, and I was just beat to heck after snowboarding. Snowboarding is a tricky deal because skiing seemed very easy to me. I mean, I wasn't good at it right away, but it made sense to me. Snowboarding, your feet are trapped. You can't move them. And so you have to steer yourself by just very slight leans one way or the other. And I did not pick it up. So I'm going to give it one more try here. And I'm just hoping there's some light, fluffy snow to fall down in. Not worried about the skiing. It's the snowboarding. I've got to try it one more time, though. I can't be as terrible at it as I was last time and feel good about myself. So we're going to give it a go. Next week, we're going to have a number of guest hosts filling in for me. Tim Flackle on Monday, Michelle Comer Tuesday, and then Andrew Sletten on Friday. Special holiday programming Wednesday and Thursday. And then I'll be back the week after. So the days after Christmas, between Christmas and New Year's. And so excited to be back in the chair. I love this time of year. The world seems to slow down a little bit. And you can catch up on stuff, get ahead on stuff, plan for the new year. And in this case, this time of year for me allows me to get together with my whole family and my son and my daughter, Tracy, and then some wonderful family friends as well. Actually, the family that Natalie married into is the family friends that are inviting us. So they're real skiers. They've got all the stuff, and they know how to do it. So hopefully they'll be willing to teach the rest of us. And my son's a snowboarder, so he'll be able to figure it out. So he'll laugh at me a little bit, but that's okay. It's all good stuff. All right, but we've got a lot of work to do between now and 6 o'clock when we finish up here, so let's get to it. And we begin with the – well, before I do the 5 o'clock wrap, I wanted to mention I did ask Grok during the commercial break, what cars can run E85 gas? Because we were talking about gas prices here. $1.39, somebody texted in at the Quickstar by Big Top Bingo in Fargo. $1.39. Like, oh, can you? How great would that be to fill up your car for $1.39? So I was like, okay, what? I am deathly afraid. My dad put the fear of death into me about putting the wrong kind of gas in the tank growing up on the farm. So I've just never taken any chances with this thing. But that E85, that's the flex fuel. And so you really got to be careful. This is 85% ethanol, and you can only run these in flex fuel vehicles. And if you mess that up, it can cause you some serious damage there. So how do you know if you got a flex fuel vehicle? Look for a yellow gas cap or a ring around the fuel filter or fuel filler. Check for labeling saying flex fuel, FFV, or E85. Owner's manual will help too. Your VIN number, you can look it up if you want to. And I am told that options for flex fuel vehicles have declined due to shifting incentives toward EVs. Only a few brands offer them. Buick has the Encore and Invista, Chevy Silverado, Tahoe Suburban, GMC Yukons and Sierras, Ford F-150, Explorer are some of the models where they do have this flex fuel. So check and make sure. You don't want to make a mistake on this stuff. I'm sure there, if you've got a story about this, I'd love to hear, by the way, about putting the wrong fuel in the vehicle, or you did and it still worked. I've heard people say that too, like you found out you put the wrong stuff in and it still worked. So if you got a story, we'd love to hear from you today, 701-271-1100. Okay, now let's get to the top five at five. These are what I believe to be the most consequential stories in the news cycle today. This one just does my heart so good. Oh, I love this story. Fox News reports that a jury has found Milwaukee County Judge Hannah Dugan guilty of obstructing federal immigration agents during an attempt to serve a warrant at a courthouse earlier this year. She faces up to 5 years in jail. It is a felony obstruction count. Dugan was arrested in April after helping Eduardo Flores Ruiz avoid plainclothes ICE agents who were trying to serve him a warrant. Prosecutors said Dugan helped Flores Ruiz and his attorney exit her courtroom through a back door on April 18th after learning that ICE agents were in the building to arrest him. And jurors reached a guilty verdict after 6 hours of deliberations today, though Dugan was acquitted on a misdemeanor count of concealing an individual to prevent arrest. I don't care. She got guilty on the felony, faces a 5-year jail term. I don't know what she'll get, probably 10 minutes, you know how these things go, but this is so important that people, these activist judges that want to circumvent law enforcement. I mean, can you even believe that people do this? I guess you can, because it's their religion and they are true believers. And for them, nothing will get in their way. They will not be deterred by anything because it is their means for morality. It's how they sleep at night. It gives them some purpose in life. It's ridiculous. But these people need to be found guilty. When you do things like this, this is no laughing matter. And so she's now got to face a sentence up to 5 years in jail. I wonder what she'll actually get. What do you think she'll actually get? Maybe like 6 months or something in a light duty. I don't know. We are so soft on penalties these days. I don't know what she'll get, but this will be interesting to watch and see when the sentencing comes out on that. But that's story number one. Good for you, jury in Milwaukee. And Judge Dugan, you got exactly what you deserved. You are not the honorable Judge Dugan. You're the dishonorable. What an embarrassment you are to the profession and to reasonable people in this country. Absolutely fantastic. All right, story number two. You heard a little bit about this at the top of the hour, but the United States military began airstrikes today on several ISIS targets in Syria. This coming after the deaths of two U.S. soldiers and a civilian interpreter last week. You'd have thought ISIS learned last time President Trump was in office, because basically he wiped them out in his first term. And then, Joe Biden got in office and we were the laughingstock of the international community. And so, they talked nice about us. They were very friendly to Joe Biden because they knew that he was completely feckless as a leader. So they loved it when Joe Biden. And so when you hear all these people talking about, we've never been as popular internationally as we were when Joe. Yeah, there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. War Secretary Pete Hegseth said in a post on X, quote, "This is not the beginning of a war. It is a declaration of vengeance. The United States of America, under President Trump's leadership, will never hesitate and never relent to defend our people. U.S. forces struck ISIS fighters, infrastructure, and weapons sites." And Hegseth said the attacks were a direct response to the deaths of Sergeant William Howard of Marshalltown, Iowa, Sergeant Edgar Torres Tovar of Grimes, Iowa, and interpreter and U.S. civilian Ayad Sakat of Michigan. Those are three people that were taken out by ISIS fighters there. The three were killed by a lone gunman. And so the U.S. began airstrikes today at specific Islamic State targets and suspects in Syria. So I don't know about you, but I'm not messing around with Trump and Pete Hegseth. You don't have to like them if you don't want, but boy, you better respect them, because those guys, they do not give a bleep what anybody thinks about them in American big media, or, you know, the hand wringers in Congress or whatever. They do not care. They are out there to make their point, and they're going to go get you. So this hopefully is a message to some really stupid people. All right, story number three. I saw today online on a report called the Kobesi Letter, which is one of my favorite follows in social media and online as well. They talk about economy and market things. Well, there now is a list of about 10 different companies that have joined Michael Dell in backing the Trump accounts for kids. BlackRock, the investment group, has announced it will match government contributions to Trump accounts for its employees. Bank of New York, BNY Mellon, it's called now, also announced that it will match the contribution for employees. Employers can contribute $2,500 a year without affecting a worker's taxable income. Other donors include Uber, Charter, MasterCard, and Visa. And there will likely be more to come in the days ahead. So isn't this great? All right, that's story number three. Before I get to story number four, you guys, I have never seen anything like what is happening with Fox News and the state of Minnesota. I have three TV monitors here in the studio, and one of them's on ESPN because I'm so excited about the football game tonight. But the other two are on Fox Business and Fox News Channel. And we've got Liz Collin from Alpha News right now on Fox Business with Dagan and Brian, Brenberg, that's his name. So Liz Collin from Alpha News, they're talking about this fraud tourism in Minnesota. And basically people were moving to Minnesota because they knew how easy it would be to defraud the state government out of all this money. And Liz is just lighting these people up. Earlier today on The Five, there was a big section about Minnesota. And like literally every time I turn on a Fox program, whether it's Fox News or Fox Business, they're ripping Minnesota. I mean, it is 24 hours a day. It's like the Fox network, the Fox organization, has declared war on Tim Walz and the Minnesota state government. It's absolutely glorious to watch. But, they do not back off. It is constant, you guys. I just had to mention that to you. Story number four, United States housing inventory fell almost 6% during the month of November from the month before. So November, we saw a lot of houses being pulled off the market, as the supply thing is kind of stalling there. And the median price of a home sold in November was up 1.2% from November of 2024. But it used to be that was every year over year was 3, 4%, maybe even 5%. But we're starting to see that slow down quite a bit. Plus, homes are staying on the market longer, 36 days compared to 32 last November. So we got high home prices, stubborn high mortgage rates, and less supply that are all kind of weighing on people who might want to buy a house there. So interesting here. It's a time of year when generally activity slows down a little bit. That's why it's important to look at October versus October, November versus November. Right now they're talking about some sort of phenomenon. I forget what they call it, like rage delisting or something, where people are just getting grumpy because their house is not selling, so they're taking it off the market. So maybe that'll bring some prices up. I don't know. That's not going to bring prices down if there's less supply out there. So very interesting. There were 1.43 million homes for sale at the end of the month, down 5.9% from October, but up 7.5% year over year. And finally, TikTok is going to live. It is going to join with in a new joint venture with some American-led investors to keep TikTok alive. But it is going to be shifting its kind of ground zero or home base from China to the United States. So TikTok is moving to end this, what Fox Business called a years-long political and legal battle. The CEO told staff that the company has signed agreements to form a new U.S. joint venture that will close on January 22nd. The move will allow the platform to continue serving its more than 170 million users in the United States as a part of a global community. The president, back in September, signed an executive order that allowed TikTok's U.S. operations to be moved away from the social media app's China-based owner ByteDance. But he said the only way he would do that is if they agreed to do this, because they were either going to have to sell it or basically give up the algorithm. And this is what they're going to have to do by keeping the joint partnership going there. So TikTok will live, but it will live as a very different looking company. Very interesting. Not an issue that you'd think a Republican president would really light up on, but he certainly did in this case. And those, friends, are what I believe to be the five most consequential stories in the news cycle today. We call it the Top 5 at 5. When we come back, too bad Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley, Doug Burgum, anybody else. The race for the Republican nomination in 2028 effectively ended last night. I'll tell you why next. Question that's on the table for you today. I gave it to you off the top of the show. I'm curious what you think. Can Tim Walz be beaten by anybody who's a Republican in Minnesota for governor next year? Is Tim Walz beatable in this 26 governor's race? I wonder what you think. Certainly, the guy's been an abject disaster in Minnesota. And if you are someone who is wired to appreciate common sense, it didn't take long for you to realize that this was not the guy. But can he be beaten by anybody in the Minnesota, on the Minnesota side of things? Want to hear what you think. I'll give you my thoughts at the end of the program. And, curious what you want to think, what you want to say on that. 271-1100, this is Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. All right, well, you know, if you've listened to this show for any length of time, I'm a big Ron DeSantis fan. I think he has done a marvelous job as the governor of Florida. Maybe the best governor that I can remember in my adult lifetime. When you talk about somebody who really stands up for faith, family, and freedom, he is a conservative in every sense of the word. And what he has done is made Florida the freest state in the country. During COVID, they were the example of hands off. And because of it, people moved there. That obviously moved up prices for homes and everything else. So inflation got to be an issue there. Cost of living is not easy. I get that. But Florida has been a remarkable case study in how to run a state. And he's bound and determined to get rid of property taxes. It can be hard to do, but he's giving it heck. So, big DeSantis fan. I'm a big Doug Burgum fan as well. Doug, maybe not as conservative on some of the social issues, but as far as a guy that can get the job done, boy, no question, he'd be a great guy. There's a lot of guys I like. Byron Donalds is another one. I mean, I can go through 100 different people that I think would make a great president, but there is going to be nobody else on the Republican side in 2028 besides J.D. Vance. The president has already kind of said he's my guy, but obviously the vice president of the country. And he's kind of told Don Jr., I think, to kind of drift away. We haven't heard any talk about that. And Trump has kind of said, hey, he's going to be the guy. But I think all those people were still thinking, well, you know, maybe this could still happen. But last night, Erica Kirk got on stage at the Turning Point Winter event and said this, and basically ended all speculation.
We're going to ensure that President Trump has Congress for all 4 years. We are going to get my husband's friend, J.D. Vance, elected for 48 in the most resounding way possible.
And that'll just about do it for this competition. Look, Erica Kirk in the conservative world. Now, I know there's a few people that think that the whole Charlie's death was maybe staged and she had something to do with it. I'm not even gonna. To me, Erica Kirk is maybe the most loved person in the conservative movement right now. maybe even above President Trump, because what she has gone through and the grace that she's carried herself with and the strength in light of the assassination of her husband has been just absolutely stunning. And, yeah, I mean, maybe she's a little quirky in some things. Maybe she hasn't behaved in the way that people think that she... Look, she just lost her husband. It's hands off on any criticism of that woman for years in my mind. And when Erica Kerr gets on the stage and says, we are going to get J.D. Vance elected for presidential number 48 in the most resounding way possible, I think that it's going to make a lot of people, when they heard it, or if they haven't heard it yet, when they do, just kind of say, oh, okay. We'll see. So, can the Republican win in 2028? I don't know, but it will be J.D. Vance coming out of the primary there. All right, 5:32, Steve Hallstrom Show. Brian's on the line. He wants to give a little weigh-in on the Tim Walz question. Brian, good afternoon. Thanks for giving a call to the show today. What do you think? Can Tim Walz be beat next year?
Well, he can be beat. You know, you got good Republicans. You know, Mike Lindell is one of them. But anyway, they need to appoint a special counsel to look into the whole Minnesota deal. Mm-hmm. Just unreal. They've been enablers of the whole thing. Keith Ellison and the whole bunch at the top in Minnesota. So, I mean, billions and billions. They need to be removed from office. So
it's bad. Anyway. Yeah, it's bad, it's Brian. Bad. It's bad. I'm with you.
It's just getting worse.
Yeah, I don't think they can appoint a special counsel, because I think that's only federal stuff there. But, I mean, all of these investigations and all these documents that they are asking for from Minnesota, I think they're trying to do everything they can at a federal level. And I love the fact that they're also trying to get the voter records, because if there's fraud on the economic side, you know darn well there's fraud on the voting side as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's so corrupt. Anyway, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Brian. Merry Christmas to you and your family. Thank you, my friend.
Appreciate you as well.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that very much. Thanks for giving a call. All right, that opens up a phone line for you. 271-1100. Can Tim Walz be beat? Brian says yes. Says there's some good candidates there. What do you think? Love to hear from you. 271-1100. We'll be back right after this on the Steve Hallstrom Show. I want to tell you, in addition to taking more of your calls on the Walz question there, I want to tell you why, if you're a Bison football fan, you got some really good news today. That's next. I'm sipping on a Monster energy drink and listening to this tune, man. I'm ready to go.
It's the best of both worlds right
there. Addison's spinning the hits for me here today. Love it. 5:39, Steve Hallstrom Show. I want to know if you think Tim Walz can be beat next year in Minnesota. Brian says yes. Henry's on the line, and he wants to weigh in on this as well. Joins us on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Hi, Henry. What do you think?
I think that if you run Scott Jensen again, there's no way you can beat him. Scott Jensen's bad at running for governor. Last time Scott Jensen ran for governor, he had an open debate stage, and all he did was talk about carjackings. He also flipped on abortion halfway through the election. You can't let that guy try and run again. If we put somebody who's qualified, knows what they're talking about, we can still do it, though.
All right, so you think it is possible, but Jensen's not the guy. It has to be somebody else.
It's got to be anybody but him.
Yeah, so the I don't know if you caught this, Henry. It was at a meeting of some party people. So it was insiders here, but there's like 50 of them that turned out for a meeting of Republican leaders within the party. And in that straw poll they took, Lisa Daymuth took second, and Kendall Qualls took first by like 3 votes. And then Mike Lindell was third by quite a ways. I want to say he got... if the other people got, 30 or whatever, he got like 15 or something like that. And I don't even remember if Scott Jensen was in the top 5. So I don't know if that matters. It's just a small group of people that are kind of party insiders. But I was surprised to see that Kendall Qualls kind of beat everybody there. I think Kendall Qualls is a really solid candidate. Now, does he have the name recognition to win? I don't know. But, yeah, I wonder if the Republican Party will back Jensen again. So that'll be something worth watching here next year for sure.
Well, make sure that whoever's running doesn't flip on anything halfway through the election.
Yeah, you're right. Did he flip or was it after the election? I noticed that he kind of had a different tune after the election and said maybe we got to change our tune on it. But on the abortion thing, do you think he did you hear him do that kind of during the campaign?
Well, I remember they had one commercial where he was holding a baby and he handed it to somebody and said, "It's your choice." Seems a little bit mixed to me.
Okay, yeah, I don't remember that. I don't remember that. But if you saw it obviously happened. Henry, thanks for giving a call. I appreciate it. Thanks for your vote today.
Yep.
All right, so far it's two. Two people have said, hey, I think this can be done. 271-1100, what do you think? That opens up a phone line for you. I'd like you to weigh in on this one as well. Can Tim Walz be beaten in 2026? Curious what you think there. From the text line, we were talking about J.D. Vance and Erica Kirk. J.D. Vance will not win in 2028. The brand damage that the Republicans have caused due to MAGA is irreparable. It will most likely be a moderate Democrat that wins in 2028. Well, okay, are there any moderate Democrats out there to be that person? I don't know. So here's my deal. If Donald Trump can continue to make gains on the inflation front and end up moving prices down, and if you missed my first hour, I said I think the president should do his own inflation index and start keeping track of prices at the local stores and do his own, like, okay, here's what a can of coffee cost last month and here's what it costs this month. If he can show the American people that he can bring prices down, you guys, I don't know that we realize how hard that is to do. When you have an inflationary environment, which we've had, to not only slow that down, but go the other direction where we're in basically a deflationary environment where prices are coming down, that is a really, really, really hard thing to do. And in some cases, you could argue that that's actually not the healthiest thing for the economy. The healthiest thing for an economy is, you know, 1%, 1-2% growth in prices. So it's not horrible if there's some inflation, as long as wages are doing well and there's you know, a fair amount of jobs out there for everybody else. And right now, he's been able to kind of walk that line. The pace of wage growth in the country is actually higher than the pace of inflation growth. So he's going the right direction there. I don't know that I agree that Vance can't win in 2028. If Trump can keep the prices, like we're talking about, 1.5% inflation, which was not far from where he was before, by the way, after COVID, which is remarkable. But if he can do that and grow the economy the way it looks like he's preparing to, I think that not only does J.D. Vance win in 2028, I think that we've got a great chance in the midterms in 2026. Now, they tell me that the math doesn't shape up well that way, that you know, the districts that are up to run again, it's going to be hard for the Republicans to hold the House and the Senate. But I don't think it's impossible. Remember all the things that Trump has done, you guys. I mean, what are you going to hold against him? Well, he says, it calls people garbage. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about things that really matter to people. Okay, well, you can say that, you know, prices haven't come down, I guess, but inflation is cooled, at least from what we know. And remember, I mean, the border is a non-issue anymore. And that thing was a train wreck. It went like somebody shut off the valve, like when I shut off the valve to my outside spigot at the end of the summer. Just shoom, and it's done. It's done. There are no border crossings anymore. And all the drugs that are shut off with that too, the human trafficking is shut off. Don't forget about how important that is, because the country realized how bad of a deal that was. One Big Beautiful Bill getting passed. That's huge, you guys. We were all going to get a tax increase. The Democrats knew it, but they wanted it. because they thought it would make Trump look bad. That tells you something there. GDP is up 3.8%. That's almost a 4% economic growth in the country. A wages rising, we're at what, 4.2% on wages rising. The stock market is strong. The jobs are all going to Americans now. Gas is under $3 a gallon nationwide. We're sitting here talking about, can we get under $2? You guys, none of this was possible a year ago. None of it. He ends the war in Gaza. You people forget about that, too. No new wars. There have been strategic strikes on things, but we're not in any more wars. Ukraine and Russia are still going. He hasn't gotten that done. I guess if you want to be picky, you could hold that against him because he said he would. I don't know. But all the DOGE cuts, fired 240,000 federal workers. They're trimming 9 regulations for every new rule or executive order that goes through, you guys. 9 to 1. 9 to 1. $1.6 trillion in spending cuts. All this stuff about girls and women's sports, the transgender stuff. He's got Ivy League schools now coming out and saying, yeah, we screwed all this up. We got to do this differently. The Olympic Committee, the Olympics are now going to do this differently. The NCAA is going to do this differently because of Donald Trump. So I know that CNN and CBS News are not telling you these stories. They are not reminding you of any of this. That's why you listen to the Steve Hallstrom Show and all the other great shows we have here on the flag. But you guys, what Donald Trump has done has been amazing. Now, does he always say it the right way? Does he step on? I don't care. I do not care. And yes, I'll be called a racist and a misogynist and a whatever, and I hate that. Well, I don't care about any of that. Is real life and real issues for real people getting better? I know there's some grammatical errors in that sense. But is life getting better for people in this country right now? Absolutely it is. I mean, what are you going to say that Trump is doing wrong or hasn't done or that kind of offsets all that? You want to talk about tariffs? Oh, that tariff, right? All the tariffs are going to be so terrible. We had an inflation number at 2.6, and that includes whatever quote unquote tariff inflationary problem you have. If you take out what tariffs may have done, the number's way better. We're sitting over the last 3 months at a 1.6% inflation number over the last 3 months. That's way under where the Federal Reserve is at. Interest rates are down. Mortgage rates are down. And I didn't even put that in my earlier list of things. We forget. And if you say, I don't know that the Republicans can win because the damage that Trump and Vance have done with MAGA is irreparable, what did I just read to you that you'd say is irreparable damage? These are massive wins, massive. And we go into 2026 and Trump and Bessent and all those guys are saying, you just wait to see when people start getting their tax returns back and they get to see what their refunds look like compared to what they've had before. Oh, boy, Katie by the door. 549, Tom and Mindy, hang on. I got one more break I want to take, but I want to get that out of the way so I can hear from you. So hang on tight. We'll talk about Tim Walz in Minnesota. That's the question. Can Tim Walz be beaten in 26? We'll talk about it next. All right, the question today, can Tim Walz be beaten in 2026? Tom is on the line, and he has an answer for us. Tom, what do you think?
It will be very difficult. It depends on how dirty they want to play. And if what can he actually be charged? Will he be removed? We know Minnesota. And I think Minnesota will be the barometer for the midterms.
I love it. Boy, you brought it strong. Clear, concise, and both barrels. I like it. That's my answer, too. Yes, Walz is beatable. It will take a really good candidate. I'm not sure that any of them in the pile right now are that candidate that can really catch fire and get people excited. Kendall Qualls has a chance. I've heard that Michelle Tafoya wants to get into the Senate race. If she would get in the governor's race, I think she would have a chance. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think that there's someone right now as they stand. Now, if one of these people can really mount a big PR campaign, raise a bunch of money, get out there and have people hear them. Like when I listen to Kendall Qualls, I'm like, sign me up for this guy. He doesn't have any weaknesses, but he hasn't been able to capture the imagination of people across Minnesota on the Republican side yet. Now, he got a win in this straw poll, but that's not anything that most people across Minnesota are going to know. So it's going to take a really flawlessly run campaign and a lot of money to come in, but I do think it's possible. I just don't know if anybody in this current mix is the person to do it.
Liz Trofoy to the Twin Cities is the same as Michelle Turnberg to Fargo.
Who is that?
Liz Trofoy is to Minneapolis as Michelle Turnberg is to Fargo.
Okay, you put two people together there. It's either Michelle Trofoy or Liz Collin. Who are you talking about?
No, I mean, I'm sorry. Trofoy.
Michelle Trofoy.
Yeah, Michelle, she is what Minneapolis and Minnesota is. Michelle Turnberg is.
Yeah, I get your analogy. Yeah, I think Liz Collin and Michelle are there. To me, they're two absolute rock stars. Now, we had Liz on the other day. I asked her. She didn't say no about running for some. I said, you get an itch to run for anything? She did not say no. She said, there's too much going on or whatever, but she didn't say no. And now Michelle Trofoy is apparently having conversations with the Senate people. So I think that's probably where she ends up going. And by the way, I did ask Michelle to come on the show and give me some thoughts on some things. And she said, I'm going to kind of stay out of the media for a while here on the holidays. So she's never said no to me before, and she's saying no now. So I think there's something going on there. We can only hope that one of those gets involved. Tom, thanks for calling. Merry Christmas, my friend.
Yep.
All right, Mindy's up. She's next on line two. Mindy, good afternoon. Can somebody beat Tim Walz?
Yes. Yes. I think almost. Well, I like the Kendall Qualley.
Yeah, Kendall Qualls.
I think is his name.
Yes.
Yeah, Qualls, yes. I think what he's saying, you know, that he'd give us our Minnesota flag back and get rid of the Somalian flag.
Yes.
So I know the land of rocks and cows is very ruby red.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that we all vote, but nobody really liked Jensen, and I don't think the other girl, but I think if he could get on, and he's doing a grassroots type of thing on Facebook right now, and people are excited, so maybe you can get him on and get other people on that aren't on Facebook.
Yeah, Mindy, thank you. We've had Kendall on a couple times since he announced we'll have him on again soon. Thank you, sister. You have a great holiday. Merry Christmas. Thanks for calling in. Perry, you get the last word on this. Can a Minnesota Republican beat Tim Walz next year?
I think yes. A Republican could win, but Minnesota, this is as important as the last presidential election. Minnesotans need to do their own policing of their own elections and really get out there and make this happen.
Perry, I love it. I don't know that most Minnesotans believe that there's a problem with the elections. So that's an issue.
I think there is. I do too.
I just am not sure that most Minnesotans believe that. I think the conservatives do. I'm not sure that everybody does. But you're right. They've got to police their own elections. They got to decide what kind of future do you want, and are you going to give Tim Walz another shot? He is so beatable, but it's going to take somebody to rise to a level they're not at right now. Merry Christmas, Perry. Thanks for being with me. And thanks to all of you. Have a great Christmas. Happy New Year. And keep on flying that flag.